Now, you would think, now what some people say is, okay, I understand, Betty, that you, the money that you get from the federal government doesn't go for abortion because it's illegal. However, because you guys get federal funding, you're sort of backdoor subsidizing it, because if you didn't get the federal dollars, then money that would go to abortion doesn't go. Do you buy that argument? By the look on your face, and from what I've known, you probably not very much.
I don't buy that argument. And again, it's partly just because that we do cover $90,000 in cost overruns that aren't paid for by the federal family planning dollars. So if we were to lose those dollars, and those 12,500 low-income Hoosiers had to find another medical home, we would very likely have to close those locations, and then there would be a net impact of $90,000 on our bottom line to the positive.
So you'd actually get more money, is what you're saying.
We would have more money.
When we look at, the abortion issue in Planned Parenthood, I mean, has it ever been your experience that someone's just come off the street and said, hey, I need this procedure done? And almost like ordering a cheeseburger at the drive-through, or when women come here, you know, is it a painstaking, angst-ridden decision? How does that work?
Well, it's a little frustrating that we continue to hear the term abortion on demand. There is no woman who welcomes having to contemplate that decision. It's a tough thing to go through no matter what the circumstance is, and the suggestion that that's not the case is pretty offensive and pretty unfeeling toward women and what they go through. So I think that there ought to be some sentiment for walk a mile in my shoes on this question.
We're talking this morning to Betty Cochran. Betty is the president of Planned Parenthood of Indiana. We're sitting down talking this morning about some of the things going on at the state and federal level, as well as issues of funding with Planned Parenthood. Betty, there's lots of bills in the Indiana General Assembly that will require, for example, before an abortion is performed, the doctor must tell the woman XYZ, you know, the fetus feels pain. But to the best of my knowledge, a lot of these folks who are offering up this legislation aren't medical experts. Does any of this, is it necessary? Would it make a difference? Or when a woman comes in and has thought about, you know, the procedures that she wants to have done, would any of this stuff change her mind?
There are so many things to say in response to that, one of which is that two-thirds of the women in Indiana who have an abortion have already given birth once, and they know a whole lot about pregnancy and giving birth. And they sure know a whole lot more than, as I put it, the 117 of Indiana's legislators who are neither women nor doctors. We have one doctor out of 150. And so here we have legislators who have no medical background writing mandated scripts for doctors to read to their patients, and the scripts aren't medically accurate. And we have people who already this session, lawmakers, who have voted against medically accurate. I find that alarming in and of itself.
So what does this do? I guess when the woman comes in, and I guess other places where this is a law, does the doctor do, well, by law I have to read this statement to you, but by the way, the statement isn't medically accurate, so take with it what you will. I guess, you know, do these things actually make a difference?
They don't make a difference because, again, by the time a woman has gone through that really tough decision-making process, the law requires that this script be read in person, as though women can't absorb what's being said if they're not looking you in the eye, apparently. So there's that two-trip requirement. But by that time, they have made that tough decision. They have gone through that. They are not uninformed about what this is about. And no, it does not make a difference.
Our guest, Betty Cochran, Indiana Planned Parenthood. Is it just because of the nature of the 2010 election? Do abortion rights seem more, in your opinion, maybe under attack than usual?
They're definitely under attack more than usual. We've seen language this session that's just almost jaw-dropping. And it's pretty frustrating to watch what limited public debate there is and how little these lawmakers who are proposing that this language become Indiana law know what's in the bill, what its implications are. There's a lot of misrepresentation of of impact, and they then they just are moving on through. But another real concern is where we are with birth control. And it's pretty clear that a lot of these people wish that birth control be less available and that some birth control methods become illegal entirely.
Help us out here, because I know, I want to say on this.